The Justin Robert Young program is brought to you, as always, by Stickers or DIAF. Why don't you go get yourself a pack of stickers? You want to know what? Treat yourself. Treat yourself. We still call them the holiday bundles. Well, guess what? Every day's a holiday when you get one of these things. $19.99, 8 classic stickers, 2 new stickers, a classic Ruin'em wine label. And once they're gone, they are absolutely gone. And 2 jury will buy you a drink tokens. That means the next time that you see me, and I'm going to be out and about in the next few months, if you're in San Antonio, you might catch me. That'll be probably the first place where people get to redeem these things on me. I'm also going to be out in Orlando for WrestleMania. You might be able to catch me there. Make me buy you a drink. If you get the Diamond Club Holiday Pack, head on over to stickersordiaf.com and by patreon.com/JURY. That's where you guys support this show. You know, we had our normal beginning of the month kind of adjustment. We were up over 500. We're a hair under it now. But, man, thank you guys for being a part of this show. It is absolutely the best thing that happens in my life. If you would like to join the Whiskers Army, head on over to patreon.com/JURY. Not only do you get this show, you get the politics show for free. Enough of talking about how we do this show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
Ugly ain't the half, look at you. Well, you got blue teeth and you only got 2 teeth, but I kinda like to see you smile. And it appears that over the years you've turned into a big old steaming pile. And she said, yeah, I know I ain't no supermodel. I said, you ain't a hand model, baby, but that's fine. You're pretty ugly by most people's standards, but you're all right by mine.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Justin Robert Young Show. It's the jury show for short. My name is indeed Justin Robert Young. We join you now at the beginning of 2017. It's not 2016. All of our problems remain, but we have a new numerical way to quantify it. 2017. It's my 2017 song. So if you guys like it, you can check it out on iTunes. It's on iTunes under 2017 song by Justin Robert Young. All proceeds go to a charity called My Bank. Just kidding. I don't have a charity, nor do I have a song. What I do have is a podcast for you guys. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I was watching TV last night and wound up watching some sports. I was watching some ESPN, right? And the NFL, I don't know what the NFL countdown? Is it NFL? I don't know. The NFL inside, the NFL men. They're around a table, and they're talking NFL like no one's ever talked NFL before. Brought to you by Hurley Bikes. And they're doing this thing where they are showing a guy, Jed York, the owner of the 49ers, They're showing him doing a press conference where he's explaining why he has fired three head coaches in 3 years. Now, this is not going to be a sports segment. But rather, it got me thinking. Because everybody else on that show is talking about, like, well, you know, championship culture. And they really got to shore up the quarterback position. And when you look at their draft picks and Bill Walsh. That's not what I was thinking. Here's the only thing that I was thinking. That's a rich kid. And he was answering questions like a rich kid. Now, I'm not going to come out here and just start raising the pitchforks and saying, hey, we the proletariat need to take down these rich kids. It's fine. I actually kind of rather like rich kids. I think rich kids kind of get a bad rap. Because I think there's a lot of lessons you can learn about rich kids. Now, of course, making fun of rich kids is even funnier than making fun of all other kinds of kids, right? You make fun of a poor kid because he's dumb as a sack of bricks, and that's a little mean, right? Because you're like, well, you want to know what? He didn't get a lot of advantages. But if you make fun of a rich kid, now you're kind of free and clear, right? You're kind of you're like, oh well, whatever. If a rich kid is dumb as bricks, that means that he has gone out of his way to squander opportunities. Now, maybe the poor kid also squandered a lot of opportunities, but we don't know that for sure. We're pretty sure that rich kid did. We're pretty sure that through the excesses of that rich kid's life, that he or she has done their best to remain blissfully ignorant or mean or intolerant or whatever other, you know, bad thing we want to staple to them. So, one of the things, I'm going to take y'all back. I used to know a kid. He's a rich kid. I don't even know if I should say his name. But everybody I knew thought he was a real asshole. Probably because he was. But I liked him. I kind of liked the cut of his jib. He was very abrasive. He was not exactly an easy person to get along with, but for whatever reason, I got along with him fairly well. One of the things that he loved to do, and he got it from his dad, was he loved to just get things for free. Despite the fact that he could very easily pay for them. It was a sport for him. I remember one time he spent a half hour detailing to me how he got a gym membership for free. So he went and got a gym membership and made sure, took the time out of his day to drive to every single location that he was entitled to go to based on that gym membership, looking very specifically at the contract that he signed as to what the amenities that were promised to him would be, looking for one of the locations to not have that amenity. And lo and behold, at a location 15 minutes out of town, he found one gym that didn't have a working steam room. The steam room was broken. And holy crap, this kid had an erection that could cut a diamond. He was so excited. He came back like a kid on Christmas, which is weird because he didn't celebrate Christmas. He was so pumped. He went and called that gym. And he was like, hey, I would like all my money back. They're like, what do you mean? He's like, well, I signed this contract. I was promised a steam room. That location didn't have a steam room. The guy's like, well, it seems like you signed up at this other location 15 minutes away. Yeah, well, I was in the area there. So I wanted to go. I wanted to get a steam. I couldn't get a steam. I want all my money back. Guy's like, well, there's actually another clause in the contract that says you don't get to do this. Like, sometimes the steam room's allowed to be broken. Let me speak to your manager. And he goes up the chain, starts talking to the manager. Now, here is the important lesson here. All right? The important lesson. He didn't get his money back. He wound up getting free time on his membership, but he didn't get his money back, which is what I wound up finding out, in my opinion, was the biggest lesson I could learn from rich kids. Not that they have money, not that they take money for granted, but this, that they learn to be comfortable failing. They learn to be comfortable failing faster than kids without money. I believe this to be true without a shadow of a doubt. And I believe this might be the most unused lesson that we could all be better at. That we could all learn something from rich kids. They are comfortable failing. They are more comfortable than you at failing. Why? Because failing costs them almost nothing. Think about all the times that you, in your life, you listening to me, unless you're a rich kid, in which case, hi, man, patreon.com/JURY, pay it forward. If you have at any moment in your life, a job interview, a big project at work, romantic entanglements, where you believed something was zero sum. You know, what's the saying? That people in the army eat fast because they're afraid someone's going to take it away? That is the mindset that has been around me and in my own head my entire life. My entire life. If this doesn't work out right now, I'll never get another chance. Rich kids. They're always going to get another chance. So who cares? Why not try? Why not try? If I don't care if I fail, what is the cost of trying? And therefore, you wind up seeing a lot more attempts. Rich kids tended to ask more girls out. Rich kids would randomly try to get their money back on a gym membership just for fun. Why? And listen, he was a real ass monkey for doing it. Because, you know, I don't think that the person who ran the Planet Fitness in Manliest, New York really was delighted to have a furious rich kid riding up his butthole trying to get his $40 back. But yet, at the end of it, no matter where his motivations were going in, he understood a little bit more about contracts. He understood a little bit more about how corporate structures work. He understood a little bit more about how to deal with customer service and how to get what you want. I'm not saying that all these lessons are good, because what I'm saying is more essential than that. What I'm saying is that we could all stand to be less afraid of failure. All of us. We could stand to be less afraid of money. Because money, really, like, you're never worried about accumulating money. You're worried about losing money. You're worried about not having money. You're worrying about that failure. Now, that's not to say don't be careful with it. I'm just saying we could all stand to be a little less afraid of it. Unleash your inner rich kid. Now, why is this important? Why have I been thinking? Because as soon as I saw Jed York there, and Jed York, by the way, the owner of the San Francisco 49ers, is mega rich and runs one of the most prestigious NFL franchises, certainly the most prestigious one in his time zone, right? He is getting roasted. yesterday by a bunch of newspaper and television reporters that probably have, in their entire generational wealth, not as much as he will make in that year. And yet, as he is getting lit up by these people, you see one look on his face, which is, I failed. I suck. I guess I'll try again. And people are lighting him up. Don't you think you should resign? You should sell the team. I screwed up. I screwed up 3 years in a row. I have irreparably damaged a franchise that was not but 3 years ago thought to be one of the best. I have consistently sided with the wrong people, even as it has become very, 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 very obvious for me. Not only have I very obviously made these mistakes, but the people that I've jettisoned have gone on to do amazing things, jamming my decision so far up my butt I can smell them. National laughingstock. One of the worst owners in the NFL. I guess I'll just try again. Maybe eventually I'll be better. And you want to know what? If he makes the right decision and hires the right person, everyone will forget. Because nobody remembers what happens yesterday. They remember what happens today and what might happen in the future. Right now, Jed York is an absolute failure because he has a track record for failure, and we're going to assume, based on what happened previous, that he's going to make another wrong decision. But don't ever, ever think that this is about the past. It's about the past informing the future. Because the second he makes a good one, he'll be the guy who makes good decisions. And so can you. For whatever we want to think about reputation, for whatever we want to think about how our failures haunt us, I don't think they do. I think that the rich kids got this one. If you are a rich kid, I want to hear your stories. Email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. Again, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. I want to hear from rich kids. I want to hear from people who have learned something from rich kids. That's what I want to hear. That is what I want to hear. I think that there are a lot of lessons. Gambling Man says this will only end well. Hey, listen, all I'm saying is that there is a ticking clock on any of my career, right? You cannot talk this much in a live format without saying something that absolutely torpedoes and explodes your career. It's a ticking clock. So at some point, I'm going to ruin literally everything that I have going for me. So you might as well get in on it while it's still cooking. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. Anyway, let's cool down and talk about something a little less controversial. Is it? All right. Now, this is going to sound weird. So please take it in the spirit in which it's offered. If you're a heterosexual man and you're talking to another heterosexual man, do you feel uncomfortable discussing musicals? Put more simply, do you feel that you are projecting that you are more likely to be gay if you discuss musicals? That's the question. Because I had this, with Scott. Now, I mean, all right, so let me clarify this. Whistle 034 says, who cares if they do? The question is not whether or not it affects you, right? The question is whether or not it exists. I'm not trying to say it's right or wrong. What I'm trying to do is explore our human condition. Because there was something that I noticed within me, and I noticed again on the Hotline Monday show with Scott Johnson yesterday, which is that discussing musicals to another heterosexual man requires a 45-minute disclaimer. Like, you can't just say, oh, I don't know, I really like that musical. The songs were nice. I've been singing the songs in my head all day. You can do that with an album, right? Chance the Rapper mixtape comes out, I can go to my heterosexual friend and say, hey, man, I really, really like, One More Label Tries to Stop Me. There gonna be some, I can say, hey, I like that song. That's a good song. Have you heard that song? I like that song. If that song is sung by somebody who's trying to explain what they want to do that day in a musical, now all of a sudden I need a disclaimer. Well, I kind of like musicals. I mostly like cartoon musicals. But also, there's really just there's a lot that goes into it. It's a lot more complicated to do. As a writing thing, it's actually really interesting. If you look at, there's just a lot of explanation. And I don't know what it is. I'm going to the gay thing now because it's my best hypothesis. But I don't know that for sure. Maybe it's not a gay thing. Maybe it's not, Mr. Sir Diggity says you need new friends. I mean, maybe I do. I'm fully willing to admit, but I would be shocked if nobody else has had this happen to them. And I will be shocked considering that what I believe will be the way that the Best Picture nominee, that La La Land, with all the discussion that's going to go on around La La Land, that people are not going to be having these kinds of conversations. Daniel J. Newman says, I used to work at a theater that showed a lot of musicals, and I saw thousands of people at night and saw more pairs of men and women than I did men and women or women and women. You might think that these were all unhappy men dragged by their girlfriends and wives, but I tell you, they all look like they had a good time when they left the theater. Absolutely. Again, my point is not that it is a gay thing to like musicals. I like musicals. I happen to not be gay. I've had a bunch of conversations with heterosexual men about them, but it just feels like there's this weird little thing, in the grand matrix of how we talk without talking in our modern American culture circa 2017, there is just this one little artifact and remnant wherein we need to quantify exactly why we like a musical. And I am only speaking from my own experience. I am speaking from the experience of a 33-year-old heterosexual man who has, by and large, winds up talking to other heterosexual people in general and heterosexual men probably most of all. Carmichael says the stereotype is the stereotype of fragile masculinity. There we go. Maybe that's it. Maybe there's there's an element where we need to signal too much. We doth protest too much. But I don't, I guess here's my question. Here's my question. Don't tell me I'm alone on this. Don't tell me I'm alone. I don't think, maybe we are still in the disclaimer. Maybe this is my, to go meta, I have to do another conversation about why this is a conversation so I can tell you, I saw La La Land, I liked it, I thought the songs were good. So I just did it. I just did it to you guys right now. I didn't lead by saying I saw La La Land. I didn't lead with that. Instead, I had to go through another meta conversation that eventually got us to the point where I think Ryan Gosling's a cute guy and he's just him and Emma Stone are adorable and they're just singing to each other and they're dancing. Oh, geez, what a real sweet movie. But I couldn't just say that. I had to then go through all this other stuff. I had to solicit emails. I had to ask everybody to look inward to find their own signal mechanisms and whether or not your experience was my experience, instead of just saying, I thought the opening number really set the tone. The choreography was exquisite and the songs are earworms. In fact, I'll even go further and say a criticism of the movie is there's not enough songs. I wanted more songs. I can't say that. Instead, I said all this other stuff. Ravenous 12 says, and now jury's coming out. Oh, jeez. Jeez, you're lighting me up. Oh, Ninja Steve 79, point being, jury saw La La Land and now he's gay. Oh, my God. I don't know what it is. You know, it's so weird to talk about this stuff, too, because, you know, when this gets back to, like, all these discussions about, like, privilege or social standing or inherent power or earned influence, like, I do have a theory on why it happens. You know, I think that part of it is that we, in general, have very... what's the best way to put this? We signal each other a lot. Like, we say a lot of things without saying it, right? And we're worried about first impressions. Like, I know for a fact that I don't give a good first impression. I don't. And I think that there's probably a fair amount of the chat room that is here right now, not only on Twitch, but also on Diamond Club, that did not like me when they first heard me. I know I'm bad at first impressions in general. I've been told it many times. I think that people initially read me as a lot more aggressive than I am. I'm a very sensitive boy. And it's something that I have found more success in life when I have realized that that's the case. And that's, I think it's hard to wrap your head around. It's hard to wrap your head around the idea that people are judging you before you've even opened your mouth, or you've opened your mouth, you know, for some other reason, and all of a sudden people have an idea of you. But we do it all the time. And the more we think about that, the more we understand that to be true, the more we tend to worry about it. And the more we tend to worry about whether or not exactly what we think we are in our heads is coming across. Now, that can often be a good thing, right? Because it makes us self-examine. Am I a good person? Am I doing a good thing? If I do this right now, will there be beneficial social consequences for me? But sometimes it can be bad, right? Sometimes it can force you, you know, to have what was described as fragile masculinity, right? Because you are afraid that you are signaling something that you do not mean to signal. And maybe it's completely innocuous. Maybe you're kind of worried about it. I don't know. This isn't really going anywhere. This is just to say I like La La Land. we had one. W. Scottis 1 here in the chat said that he would prefer that we talk about this Mariah Carey thing. Let's see if we can't bring up some B-roll here. New Year's Eve, the New Year's Rockin' Eve, Mariah Carey got on stage and decided that she was going to sing some songs to ring in the new year. Spoiler alert, it didn't go well. It went really, 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 really poorly. Here is the article about it here. We're gonna play the video. I guess the video's, yep, here we go. The video is playing in the background while it says it's not available. That's pretty awesome. She tried to sing Emotions. It was pretty obvious that her earpiece was out, and she was just kind of talking while everything else went on around her. It was a disaster of the highest order, and I don't really know what you can say about it except to wonder, why do we care? And I don't mean to say that we're bad to care, right? But what do we take away when we watch it? Is it important because she failed? Do we look at this as a do we look at this as like, okay, is she a diva, right? Like, is she somebody that is too demanding when it comes to her set, right? Like, who are we inclined to believe more? Are we inclined to believe Dick Clark Productions, or are we inclined to believe Mariah Carey? Because obviously something went wrong, but it's live television. Things go wrong all the time. Here we go. Let's get a little audio here.
Viewers got very vocal.
What is going on? Is this how 2017 is going to treat us?
Mariah vamped around the stage.
We didn't have a sound check, but it's New Year's, baby.
Awkwardly killing airtime. As she called for technical assistance.
Put these monitors on, please.
It's like a train wreck happened, but as the
So she came out. I mean, listen, it was an audio thing. Right. And like people are like, oh, well, she was lip syncing. Well, yeah. I mean, anybody who's doing a live thing is going to lip sync at least with like backing vocals and stuff like that. And also, you know, I don't even know if it was necessarily even the most embarrassing thing that happened on New Year's Eve, including the stream that I did. You know, because Don Lemon, by the way, can we have this conversation? Don Lemon is 50 years old. Were we all aware of that? Were we all aware of the fact that Don Lemon is 50 years old? 50. 50 years old. Right? That dude was wasted. I mean, granted, so was I. And I also went on live live video. But, like, he does not look 50, and he certainly does not act 50. Don Lemon was on national television talking about how in the new year he was going to make himself available for a relationship. You're 50, dude! Like, not to say everybody matures and grows at their own pace, and that's fine. I'm not saying that you should stunt your personal growth. I'm just saying that at some point, you know, things stop being a little cute. And if you're like, hey, at 50, maybe I'll be able to have a relationship because I'll be able to open myself up a little bit. I don't know. It seems a little weird. All right. That'll be that. Let's go ahead and check up on some micro goals. This was our big thing last week, where we wanted to give everybody micro goals. So do not think about New Year's resolutions. Do not think about how you're going to lose 50 pounds and you're going to learn a new programming language and you're going to write the great American novel. Enough of that. Micro goals. The tiniest, most achievable goals you possibly can think of. No presh. Let's just micro goal 2016. Here we go. Dave writes, first, here are some of my micro goals. Take all the laundry out of the dryer, not just what I'm wearing to work that day. Take those bags of clothes to go to Goodwill, get an oil change, eat a healthy meal before 10 a.m. once per week. Mike writes, forget dieting. More realistically, I'm going to supersize less in 2017. So there we go. We got a couple micro goals in. We then move on to another thing that we were talking about, which we got a couple emails on, which is male sex toys. Male sex toys. For those of you keeping score at home, I didn't feel that I needed a disclaimer to discuss male sex toys. So let's please continue to analyze the psyche of Justin Robert Young. Dave continues, I have basic couples toys, under bed restraints, blindfold, spur, at least three kinds of lube. I had a ball gag, but I left that at my ex's. I have men's toys too, two vibrating prostate massagers, a fleshlight, a leather C-ring with a leash, and this little guy, which is hard to describe. I don't. Let me see if I can even show this. Okay, yeah, it's not coming through here, and it's probably for the best. I've only had a few partners since I bought most of these, but they've liked that I have the toys. Sharing that I have toys has provided more opportunities to talk about kinks and fantasies than with previous partners. We don't always use the entire toy box, but I've used the vibrating bits on them, and one used a massager on me while giving giving a BJ. Amazing. I haven't used that hard-to-describe toy with a partner, but I have tested it, and it's fun. Good luck with your micro goals. I hope you and Ashley have a great New Year's Eve. I'll see you at Nerdtacular. Don't worry, I'll leave the toys at home. Well, thank you, Dave. Jason writes on this very same subject. There's one reason why men don't admit to using solo sex toys. If you use them, the ick factor of the cleanup. If you're using your hand, there's tissues and socks and whatever you're done. A toy requires a trip to the bathroom to clean it up. The upkeep is more than most guys would want to do, given how most dudes crank one out. Now, if we're talking about toys you use with a partner, lots of guys probably feel insecure about using assistance to get their partners off, probably due to years of watching porn where guys jackhammer away while the girls pretend to climax. Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. I don't know if I would go with you on the porn thing, but I think that's certainly a thing. I mean, this is one of those where I'm not going to stake out any big gigantic claims here. Dark Redeemer in the Diamond Chat said, Brian has no time for micro goals. You can't punch a micro goal in the face. Micro goals can't melt steel beams. The Bishma writes, this week's discussion about Christmas joy and anxiety made me realize that there are people in the world who actually feel joy about Christmas. I thought joy was just another word that you see like Noel that is seen and said without really meaning anything and not actually a feeling of great happiness. I remember being excited about Christmas as a kid, mostly because, as a somewhat poor family, it was my main shot at new toys for the year. Still, even then, I'm not sure I felt joyous about the holiday, just glad to have something new to play with when it was all said and done. Maybe because I'm an atheist, so Christmas is a cultural family thing and not a religious one. My family is mainly made up of Christmas Easter type Christians, but I'm pretty sure I believed in Santa longer than I believed in God, if I ever did. But I know plenty of atheists that embrace the season as a time of togetherness, family, what have you. Do they feel joy about it? More than anything, I find Christmas obnoxious. because same old complaints. Stores start selling Christmas items around Halloween, and my favorite radio station converts to a 24/7 Christmas music on Thanksgiving. I mainly try to ignore the holiday until it's about a week out. That helps me at least not be grumpy about it, but it doesn't get me anywhere near joy. So I'm trying to figure out what I'm missing. As someone who's approaching 40, are my ways set, or can my heart figuratively go three sizes and let me find unadulterated happiness in Christmas 2017? What are your thoughts on joy? Is it a goal, a personality trait, or just a word that people use? All right. So here's my thought on joy. I don't think that there are non-joyous people. I think joy is something that flourishes when your life in your head is less chaotic and complicated. Now, I'm not really a big yoga, meditation, mindfulness kind of guy, but as I have understood it, one thing that I feel I independently came to the realization about is the idea of recentering. That we think, for whatever reason, that anxiety is a more true emotion than happiness or joy. That anxiety is always around the corner, but joy is hard to attain. I don't think there's anybody out here who says anxiety is hard to attain. Man, I wish I had more anxiety in my life. Like, I don't think that this sentence right here, what are your thoughts on, if we're just going to replace joy for anxiety, what are your thoughts on anxiety? Is it a goal, a personality trait, or just a word that people use? I think we understand anxiety, right? We understand a lot of that. And really, joy can very often be a similar thing. Joy can be something that just randomly pops into your life. Joy can be something that can dominate your day. Joy can be something that allows you to affect, or that you allow to affect your decision making in the same way that you think about anxiety. So I don't think that you necessarily do not, the Bhishma, I don't think that you necessarily have a lack of joy. I think that you have a lot of anxiety. Because the absence of one leads to more of the other. At least that's just my opinion. Who knows? I mean, I'm just some asshole that can't talk about musicals. I want to thank everybody for watching us. If you guys would like to support the show, of course you can do it at patreon.com/JURY. If you would like to follow me on Twitter and Instagram, you can do so at Justin R. Young. Of course, you can join the conversation at diamondclub.reddit.com. If you want to watch us live on Twitch, it is justinryoung.tv. Folks, you find yourself getting into a longer than you want conversation about musicals because of your fragile masculinity. If you find yourself questioning what lessons you can learn from the rich kids in your life, if you find yourself wondering whether you should mention that a massager went along with a BJ, well then, folks, I want you to remember that your old pal Justin Robert Young is here for you. And I am doing my best to remind you to please don't die.
Do you like the way you're dressed up? Do you like how your hair gets cut? Do you like when your friends fuck up? Don't you think you have had enough?
Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.